Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are here in the studio for another episode. We have been out and traveling, looking for and talking with innovators in non-obvious industries and non-obvious locations. We've definitely been on and about the beaten path and have actually had some great conversations with some innovators. So stay tuned. Those will be part of future shows. For those of you who have been longtime listeners of the show, reflect back on a series of conversations that we recorded from the Consumer Electronics Show this year, talking about future technology trends, what's coming, and how does that apply in people's day-to-day, both personal lives, but also in the work world. And one of the topics that was really hot at this year's CES, and it continues to be hot, is around AI, artificial intelligence. And the question of, is it real? Is it overhyped? How does that really play itself out? So today we have a special guest, Jeetu Patel. He's the Chief Product Officer at Box. Now, I'm pretty sure if you've been a listener to this show, you know who what Box is in the company. And in fact, this entire radio show, I'm going to say for the last 8 years, completely operates and runs off of Box. The teams around the world would not be able to do what they do without our Box accounts. So, but the question that came up was when G2's name got on our radar screen was talking about the thoughts about AI and how does it play into products and product strategies, etc. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Jeetu, thank you for joining, taking time out of your calendar to come join us here at Killer Innovations.
Thank you for having me, Phil. And I didn't know about your eight-year loyalty, so thank you for being a loyal customer of Box.
Yeah, well, and as you and I were talking before we started the show, early days of Box, while I was CTO at HP, we were so impressed with the technology that we actually pre-installed it. So it was 40 laptops a year got Box pre-installed, because we thought that move to the cloud and the ability to share and collaborate on those kinds of things. And in fact, another thing, I don't think I've shared this with anybody. When I was writing my book, Beyond the Obvious, my publisher is Hackett in New York. My editor was in Los Angeles. The fact checkers were in Virginia, and we did my entire book on Box. So that's how my book was written. Was all in and was using the Box application.
This just became my favorite podcast.
There's one way, right? So, Jeetu, the question, look, before we hop in, because this is a topic that I get passionate about, right? It's around innovations that are real versus innovations that are fluff, right? And there's a lot of innovations out there that are fluff. But before we get into that conversation, give us a little bit of background on yourself. You've been at Box for a little bit of time, but you've been around a little bit. Give us some background.
Yeah, I am old. It's unfortunate. I started my career, in Chicago working for a strategic consultancy that was partly owned by Forrester, helping CIOs and Fortune 500 companies basically make decisions that are strategic technology decisions around how they can more effectively, collaborate with content and, fundamentally change culture with having a more open kind of content management and collaboration kind of fabric within the organization. So that's what I had done for a large percentage of my earlier years in my career. And then at some point in time, EMC tapped me to see if I'd want to be their CTO and help them with the cloud mobile side of the business with their documents and the software properties. So I did that, joined them, very quickly realized that organically it'll be pretty hard to do anything over there that was innovative. So, went to the board and said, we probably need to have some kind of, infusion of some acquisition so that we can bring in some outside blood. We made an acquisition of a company called Simplicity, which at the time was a competitor to Box. I was CEO of that company for about 3 years or so, and then we scaled that business very rapidly. And then when Dell was buying EMC, they wanted to carved out that asset and sold it to private equity. I knew Aaron Levy at the time, and we were having dinner one night, and he said, "Well, why don't you come over here and incubate a platform business for us?" And that's how I came to Box. And that's how I found my way into Box. And it's been here for 3 years, and I'd say that it's been a ride of a life. It's been a ride of a lifetime, and it's I've had a great time so far.
Well, what's been interesting, you talk about Simplicity and, back in the early days in this space, you had SugarSync, and it was a pretty crowded field for a long time. I think everybody kind of got on the bad wagon that says he who gets trusted with the data becomes very sticky. It becomes hard to split it out. But, if you think about whether it's Simplicity, SugarSync was more consumerish, at least that's my opinion, or Box, it really feeds into this, this whole digital transformation, right? The future of work. In my case, when I was writing my book or here, with my radio show, I've got staff in Asia, I've got staff in Europe, all working on the radio show stuff. And the fact that everybody can collaborate. What's kind of your thinking around this whole digital transformation? Because it's a lot of people think, okay, particularly with Box and those kinds of companies, it's just a straight sync thing, and that's all. That's what it's used for. But it's much more than that, given what corporations are looking for. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, we think of the core problem that we solve is in this whole kind of realm of digital transformation itself. So if you think about Box, we describe ourselves as a cloud content management company rather than just syncing a file. That was something that we started the business with, but we've actually grown far, far more from there. So, companies like GE and Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble and Eli Lilly and, 85,000 customers and 69% of the Fortune 500 tend to use us for very sophisticated processes within their business that they rely on us for. But I think it all comes down to one thing, which is there's going to be two kinds of companies in the world. There are going to be companies whose business models will get disrupted by others, and there'll be companies who will go out and disrupt other people's business models. But those are the only two kind of categories I think that'll exist. And this whole notion of digital transformation is pretty real. Most companies are going to be tech companies as they move forward. And the way we think about it is there are two major problem areas that companies are going to face as they go transform digitally. The first one is they need to have a digital workplace, which is their employees and their internal kind of stakeholders need to have the right kind of system so they can more effectively collaborate with each other and share content and, make sure that they can access it from anywhere, anytime, so on and so forth, and do it securely. And then the second one is they as a company need to operate like a digital company. It's not just that they can go and slap an app on the top and then everything becomes digital. They have to fundamentally think like a digital company. Their business model is going to evolve. The half-life of the company's business models are shrinking quite dramatically. Like every 7 years, your business model tends to change quite dramatically. If you look at a company like Netflix, they started with just rentals of DVDs, and then they went into making sure that you can stream media, and now they're building original content. And every wave of that business model killed the previous wave for them. Mm-hmm. And so for any company that's what's going to thrive and survive over the course of the next decade or two is going to need to think in a more agile way as they evolve their business. And we always joke around internally, if you show me your IT stack, I can tell you your culture. Because there's a direct correlation between what kind of IT stack you have and how open and transparent you're going to be and what kind of incentives people have and how are they going to go out and be inclusive. All of these things are going to go back to, if you have a legacy IT stack that hoards information, you just will have a cultural implication of that, but you won't attract the best talent. So we think like digital transformation is at the pretty core of what we try to go out and help companies do. And the way that we do it is by providing a world-class digital workplace, set of technologies so they can have a great workplace, providing the tools and technologies and fabrics so that they can be a great digital business, and do that all with the right level of cybersecurity and data protection, privacy, compliance, so that they feel comfortable as they're moving their one of the most critical assets to the cloud, which is their content.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up an interesting point, right? I love the fact of you think about the IT. I started, back in the mid 90s, I was the founder and CIO for a company called Telligent, right? Telecom company with no legacy. And I jokingly say the first day you go live and you render your first bill, you have legacy. And dealing and just not having the ability to have the flexibility. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up and continue our conversation with Jeetu Patel, Chief Product Officer at Box, and continuing our conversation about digital transformation, but also the role of some new innovations that can be applied in this space. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than a million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym, my gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather-tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to receive your free, no-obligation brochure from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-928-7007. That's 800-928-7007. Call 800-928-7007 today.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're continuing our conversation with Jeetu Patel from Chief Product Officer at Box. We did a little bit of a love fest at the beginning of the last segment, given how many years of Box that I use, and I don't think I could ever. I don't think I could go anywhere that doesn't have Box as a productivity tool. It's absolutely indispensable. But Jeetu, we talked before in the earlier segment about digital transformation, but one of the topics I want to get into, and I know you spent a lot of time thinking about this, is really how do you bring unique and different innovations into these kinds of products. And the one that, you know, that gets, you know, everybody out there is touting, quote, AI in their products. And sometimes it infuriates me because I think people are just fluffing it, you know, from the standpoint of claiming AI versus really AI. And when you think about Box and you try to think about innovation, how do you mesh those two together given kind of the historical view, right? I've got a little bit of insight on Box. I'm not completely up to date, but when I think about Box and AI, it kind of causes me to scratch my head a little bit, like, where does this fit in?
Yeah, and so the way we think about, you know, major kind of mega trends in technology, we always think of them, and we think we've had three within our lifetime over here, which have been pretty instructive to our evolution. The first one was in the cloud, as people moved to the cloud. The second one was the mobile revolution, where, you know, you had multiple devices that people wanted to access content from. And then the third one is AI. And if you think about the core thesis of what we try to do is, when you find these megatrends, make sure that you don't try to fight them and use them as a tailwind that propels your business forward. And we think AI is one of those. Now, is AI overhyped? I think in the short term, you know, people are overestimating the impact that AI has. And in the long term, people will underestimate probably the impact that they have, like they always say with technology. So,
well, that's exactly right, because the human nature is you will underestimate in the, you know, overestimate in the near term, underestimate in the long term. And that's where companies totally flub the transition from one trend to the next.
That's right. And the way we think about AI is actually, we always start from the customer problem rather than starting from technology. But we do keep a very close eye on what are the structural shifts that are going to fundamentally change the universe of computing in a pretty meaningful way and refactor things. And we think AI is one of those technologies. And if you, our motivation over here is we just want to make sure that when a customer, when we have the privilege to have Box as the custodian of content for our customers, that a piece of content put into Box should be infinitely more valuable for that customer than that same piece of content was outside of Box. And the way we can do that is by bringing services and innovations that are happening around the world to the content that's inbox. And one of those innovations is around artificial intelligence. So we have a couple of different initiatives going on with AI. The first one is around this whole notion of what we launched last year called Box Skills, where if you just think about the experience that people have with their content, our content's doubling every 12 to 14 months, by the way. So we've had this exponential growth of content. And as one of the things that's really counterintuitive about this industry is the more content that gets into a system and the more you use a content management system, the harder it gets to use, which is not how the world should operate. Like, it should get easier the more you use something, but in content management, because you've got this kind of explosion of content, it just gets harder to find information, it gets harder to go out and do anything that's productive in the system because there's a complexity that starts to compound. And so what we want to do is attack that problem and say, wouldn't it be nice if we could add intelligence around content in a very automated manner? And we saw that there was tens of billions of dollars being spent by some of the major providers in the market in artificial intelligence. And rather than going out and saying, we're going to have our own AI models that we're going to spend most of our time building, we said, why don't we just bring those AI models to our content? So we struck partnerships with Microsoft, with Google, with IBM Watson, with Amazon, with others, to say, let's make sure that we can actually provide a mechanism that if we have content inbox, an image file, a video file, an audio file, how do you bring these machine learning algorithms and models to Box so that you can say things like, I'm going to automatically detect across your 10 million images you have in your digital asset management repository what the objects are within each image so that I can automatically do a search around those in a far more effective way. Show me all the images I have for a campaign, which actually have a tennis ball, a tennis racket, and a female playing tennis with New Balance shoes. And then it'll show me the five images out of my 10 million, corpus. And I didn't have to go out and manually tag that. If I have a video, like this podcast that we're running right now, we might have multiple different topics we talk about in the podcast. I just want to see the specific topic we were talking about, machine learning. And wouldn't it be nice if I could have one facial recognition in every frame of the podcast, so it knows that when Phil is talking, I want to go to that segment of the podcast when Phil is talking. And I want to go to that segment specifically where he's talking about machine learning as a topic. And those kind of sophisticated tagging mechanisms, what we did was we used the machine learning models to apply to our content. And we think that will completely change the kind of experience people have with content over the course of the next 4 or 5 years than we have in the past 25 years. So, you'll be able to have very different kinds of experiences where you'll just ask a question and get an answer. You won't have to open up a document. You'll be able to look at a video non-linearly rather than from the beginning to the end. You'll be able to know exactly what the sentiment is of someone who's talking in an audio file. All those things completely change the use cases that that organizations will be able to go out and take advantage of with these kind of systems.
So, G2, when I think about Box, I think it is the content piece, and I've got the AI piece. Are you actually running the AI models in your center versus just being a data source to somebody else's AI infrastructure?
So we have two different efforts going on in artificial intelligence. One is we've built this kind of framework where we can have the industry's artificial intelligence and machine learning models that have been built that can be applied to our content. And so we bring those APIs. We can actually take a video file and have it be processed with Microsoft, where there's frame by frame facial recognition, sentiment analysis, transcription, topic detection, those kind of things, so that if you happen to be a university that wants to record your videos, you'll be able to have a very different way that the viewing experience can be enhanced. That's one area that we're doing work where we would actually partner up with the others. And then the second area is we have this kind of technology called Box Graph, where we have the underlying framework for machine learning, where we deeply understand the relationship between two pieces of content or content and people or people and people, and then can go out and provide sophisticated recommendations in the areas of productivity or security or compliance or workflow. So those are the two efforts that are going on. The first one, we partner with someone, but the second one, we've actually built our own.
Perfect. And that's an interesting model because I think everybody's still trying to figure out what the model looks like, right? Because AI, machine learning, data becomes the gold, right, and wherever that data sets. So we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation with Jeetu Patel, Chief Product Officer at Box. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Killer Innovations.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuities. These strategies in simple to understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
We are here at Killer Innovations. We're continuing our conversation with the Duke University team that won the Technical Innovation Award at the Make the Future California featuring the Shell Eco Marathon Americas competition. This is one of many innovation competitions that have become pretty popular in the most around the world. And we're wrapping up. If you're joining us late, please jump up to the start of the show and pick up the entire conversation. But I want to talk specifically about the fact that you've gone through this experience of having done these kinds of this competition in particular, which is really applying what you learned actually doing, you know, competing against other universities and high schools, but actually building something that actually makes the vision you have a reality. What has been the impact of this participating in this, and how has that changed or reinforced your future goals? Patrick, I'll toss it to you first.
Yeah, sure. I've worked on this team for the last 4 years, and it's made a huge impact on my future goals. I think working on a team like this, getting to work on such advanced engineering, we really get to dive very deep into the technical knowledge. It's made me interested in not only like keeping the application, you know, keeping it real world, keeping it meaningful, but also to push into the research. So this club has actually convinced me to get a PhD after my graduation, to keep on pushing the cutting edge of technology. That's one of the few places where you can really innovate on a really deep level like that.
And what about you, Shobek? How's this competition influenced where you're continuing education or where you think long-term you want to work?
Yeah, so I'm similar to Patrick. So working on the hydrogen fuel cell development got me really interested in hydrogen research. So hydrogen generation and also hydrogen use in fuel cells. So in hydrogen generation side, we're currently working on research in methane reforming. So currently the majority of hydrogen is produced through methane reforming. So I'm figuring out how to use solar energy to make that process more sustainable. And then on the fuel cell side, I think participating in the competition gave really valuable experiences on how fuel cells operate and really opened my eyes to potential innovations in fuel cells and how we can make them more efficient and utilize hydrogen more effectively. So yeah, I'm also hoping to pursue a PhD in a few years.
Perfect. And Jerry, what about you?
Yeah, I guess you guys kind of said it all. I'm also planning on pursuing a PhD, and it was very largely impacted by this competition because it was really kind of the first time that I really got to like dig deep into the very careful kind of like researchy, like let's push this thing to the furthest it'll go. Kind of limits of things, and it was just such a rush for me, and this competition definitely set me on the path to PhD.
So one thing I always like to ask guests on the show is you know, you've had this experience of doing the being part of the competition, and you know, there's always lessons to be learned, right? Things never go perfect. There's always challenges. Things don't, you know, you think you got this plan all worked out, and then Murphy moves in and throws a couple of wrenches at you. So what I'm interested in is having each of you share What were the lessons that you learned from the competition? So, Shomik, why don't you go first? What were the lessons that you learned that you took away from having gone through the competition?
Yeah, so one of the big things that I learned was to always have determination, perseverance. So just like as you mentioned, there's always going to be unexpected things that come up. So for us, it was the fuel cell not working properly the day we got there. So when we were supposed to be doing trial runs, instead we were trying to troubleshoot the fuel cell, figure out what was wrong. And it was really important for us to rely on our team members and rely on the fact that we knew we did good work in order to really power through the difficulties and then eventually do a run. So I think the struggle was definitely really difficult to overcome, but it was worth it in the end.
So let me ask you a question: how much panic was there on the team when the fuel cell didn't work right out of the gate?
There was a lot of panic, I think. Yeah, we were all running around trying to figure out what was wrong, connecting computers to everything, sensors, and yeah. It was really good that worked out in the end.
I guess that's good preparation because that's what real life is like, right? You know, you think you got the plan all worked out and you know, something. So, Jerry, tell me a little bit about what was the lessons learned that you got from being part of this competition?
Yeah, aside from the hard work and determination, I feel like kind of if you work hard on something but don't really have a good way of going about it, you can't really get results. And I think that this year in particular, under the guidance of Patrick, I really saw where you can be methodical about things, you can be really organized about things, and you can break down this very complex task of how do we make the most efficient car, and you can break it down into every single little subcomponent and make every subcomponent as efficient as it can be. And just that methodical nature of breaking things down was a huge eye-opener for me.
Patrick, you've been part of the team 4 years. You were president of the team for the last 2 years. You've brought the trophies home to Duke. If you look back over the whole 4 years, what lessons do you walk away with now as you get ready to enter as a PhD candidate at Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I think I have an interesting one. So obviously I've worked on really efficient electric vehicles for the past 4 years, but I think a lot of the principles that we learned there can be applied anywhere. Like, obviously, I learned how to do aerodynamic simulations. That's not useful for an electrical engineer, but that attitude of being able to learn different things is really useful. I think the biggest thing I learned was how to go back to basic theory. So using just, you know, like high school, middle school level physics and using very simple math, you can really predict how a lot of these things will work before you ever build them in real life. So, you know, instead of spending a month building it, you can spend 2 hours at a whiteboard doing calculations and you can figure out a lot of how it will perform. So whether it's, you know, like Elon Musk building reusable rockets or building, I don't know, the new Nissan Leaf or a new like power plant or something, you can figure out most of how it's going to work before ever building something. I mean, of course, obviously that has limitations, but it really lets you find, you know, you have such a big drawing board of all these ideas that could work, might work, and you can try them very easily, very quickly, and see which ones are worth exploring just very easily, just with really simple math.
That's a great wrap-up of really the whole experience of going into these innovation competitions and, you know, being able to operate within certain constraints. You've got a constraint of time, you got a constraint of money, you got a constraint of people, and how do you balance all those constraints? So if the listeners want to kind of see what you guys are up to and keep track of the team, where's the best place for them to find that information?
Sure. We've got a Facebook page, Duke Electric Vehicles, and our website is duke-ev.org.
And we'll have all of those links up at on the show notes. So just hop on over to killinnovations.com, and we'll have all those links so that you can keep track of the Duke team as they later this summer try to go for the world record. They're currently at 12,000 miles per gallon, trying to go to 12.6 or 12,600 miles per gallon to break the new world record. And they've assured me that they're not going to put the driver on a diet and try to shave off 25 pounds as the way to get there. So, but I have every confidence that the team's is going to figure that out. So, Shomik, Patrick, Jerry, thanks for taking the time for joining us here on Killer Innovations, and I wish you all three the best of luck as you continue your education, as you take what you've learned in the competition and help change the world with the innovations you're going to come up with. You give us all confidence of the future, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
So
as we wrap up today's show, don't go anywhere. We've got segment four. Segment four will be the 5 minutes to new ideas. That's where we take and challenge you with a question to think about your idea, your innovation, your business differently, and help you come up with an idea that's going to be a game changer. And as I continuously say, don't let the innovation antibodies get you down. This next segment, arming you with some abilities to come up with some really great ideas that will change the world. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. In the meantime, if you've got guests that you think would be great for the show, drop me a note, phil@killerinnovations.com. We're always looking for interesting stories, interesting guests who can share their thoughts, insights, and experiences bringing ideas and innovations to reality. So with that, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the Biz Talk Radio Network.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread.
payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself. But come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Back in the early days of this show, I would share what I called a killer question in each episode. These questions were designed to be used in your personal, team, or organization's innovation efforts. Now, based on feedback from listeners just like you, we've decided to bring it back. With some improvements. Each episode of the Killer Innovations has a segment that I'm now calling 5 Minutes to New Ideas. It's designed for the creative mind looking for that next great idea. Each episode will challenge you to think differently about yourself, your business, and your products and services by asking unique, funny, and sometimes crazy questions. These questions are designed to force you to look beyond the obvious and to uncover ideas and opportunities you never before considered. So, get out your notebook and be ready to uncover that game-changing idea. Here is 5 Minutes to New Ideas. My wife is famous for being more than a little frugal. She once routed me and our son Logan from Las Vegas to Phoenix to L.A., and finally to San Jose, because she could save $20 each over the nonstop fare. Kind of nuts, right? But if I'm honest, I have the same mindset in one respect. I am determined to squeeze everything I can out of any idea or opportunity that is available to me. I'm diligent about looking at information and ideas that supposedly, quote, had no value, and wondering, hey, maybe they do have value. What I mean by this is simple. Just because you or your business has always operated under the assumption that something, be it data, ideas, or scraps from the manufacturing process, is essentially worthless, it doesn't mean that that assumption was ever or still is true. I constantly review the stuff that gets thrown away and ask myself, is there value here? One of my big breaks was becoming one of the early executives at Telligent in 1997. Telligent provided phone service to businesses across the United States and in 12 countries. The core product was voice and data services to business. There wasn't much to differentiate us from our competitors. Basically, we were all competing on the same fundamental premise, providing a good, reliable service at a cheaper price. Here's the problem with that. If there are no significant differences between you and your competitors, you are essentially in a stalemate until one of you finds a way to differentiate from the pack. So even as our company continued to hum along nicely, I started asking the questions about who we were, what we were doing, and how we were doing it. I started doing some internal investigating about the information we were gathering from our customers. After a little persistence, I got a hold of the complete call detail records for our network. In the telecom industry, the network throws away any record that is not relevant to billing. The result was that 70% of the information in call detail records was thrown away. A customer rang a business, the line was free, the call was answered, and a charge was added to the bill. Great, that's how we make money. But looking through the full call detail records, I noticed something interesting. The log showed not only the calls that succeeded, but also the calls that failed. For each business, there were pages and pages of incoming calls that were not completed, usually because the line was busy or the calls were coming before or after business hours. This was information that was thrown away. We didn't bill for failed calls, so there was no need to document them or supply the information to the customer. But think about it. Surely knowing that a potential customer tried and failed to make contact with you is invaluable information. Furthermore, isn't it kind of information you would gladly pay for? As soon as I saw the connection between this worthless information and our customers' needs, I got up and walked over to our CEO, Alex Mandel's office, and quickly pitched him a completely new kind of service that we eventually launched as Imagine. Imagine was a game-changing concept that allowed us to take a leadership role in the market. For a monthly fee, we offered our customers detailed breakdowns of all incoming calls that failed to get through, as well as additional services like instantaneous email notifications of each missed call. We supplied the names and addresses of every incoming call, so a business owner could then send out a coupon to every caller the next day. Sounds simple? Think about the small or medium-sized business owner whose margins depend on making every single sale. If that new customer doesn't get through to you, they are simply going to ring the next number in the phone book. They have no loyalty to you, and you've lost a sale and a potential long-term customer. But if you get instant notification of that call and can ring back right away, you've got a fighting chance. You are still in the game. Our customers loved Imagine. By giving them the edge in their own business, we cemented their loyalty to ours. By taking something we had historically thought had no value and creating something our customers valued out of it, we turned it into a game changer. Look more closely at your operations and stop worrying about the assets or attributes that you think you don't have. Instead, try turning inward and focusing on the questions, what attributes do I not realize I have? Our competitors had all the exact same logs and information as we did, yet they didn't recognize their value. We saw this information had worth, and we used it to clobber them. Think it's a dumb idea? Zoos used to pay a small fortune to have manure hauled away. Then someone had the bright idea to package the manure and market it towards gardeners. Now gardeners buy gallons of elephant manure for up to $20 a pop, and they do the hauling for free. So ask yourself, what are you throwing away because you assume it has no value? Warning, it's easy to overlook what you think is garbage. As the old saying goes, one person's garbage is another man's treasure. I'm Phil McKinney, and thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note over at phil@killerinnovations.com. Now, the reason I've been doing this show since 2005 is to pay back my early mentor by paying it forward. My first mentor, Bob Davis, invested an immense amount of time in training and coaching me, which had a major impact on my career. When I went back and asked him how I could pay him back, he just laughed and said, I couldn't. I had to pay it forward. If I could ask for a favor, could you help me pay it forward? How? One, give us a rating wherever you get your podcast, as that helps spread the word. And two, by telling others about the show.
This episode of Killnovations was produced by the Innovators Network. You can find the show notes and the entire show catalog over at killerinnovations.com. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio,